Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. We'll be reading the whole chapter and we'll be considering the story of the fall and why everything that is the way it is today. Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of the tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the tree in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The Lord called to the man and said, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' He said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat?' The man said, 'The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate.' Then the Lord said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.' The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.' To the woman he said, 'I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing, and in pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you.' And to Adam he said, 'Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and you have eaten the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat the bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you are taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return.' The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all things living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever.' Therefore the Lord sent him out of the garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the garden he placed the cherubim with a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life." Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are such an almighty, wonderful God who has chosen to make us in your image. And Lord, you have chosen to communicate to us. You have given us this amazing story of truth that tells us how we got here, how we fell, why there is sin, why there is sickness, disease, and suffering in the world. And it gives us hope for the future. I pray, Lord God, that we would learn from your word this morning, that we would be guided by the Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit, would you be with us now and give us readiness to apply the word of God to our lives? I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It's in the story of Adam that we discover where we come from, why we are here, what hope we have for the future, why the world is the way that it is. It answers most of the very big questions of life. In fact, the story that we just read in Genesis chapter 3 is a very important story if we want to understand why we are here and why everything is the way that it is. And in this particular portion of the story of Adam and in the story of man, we read about the fall. In Genesis chapter 3, we read the very well-known temptation of man. And it begins by describing the serpent as a very crafty beast who came to Eve. Now, this was a serpent. People have often said, well, is this really a serpent? It was a serpent. Some people have even argued that this was an orangutan. I don't think that is the case. I think this was a serpent. Paul refers back to this in, I think it's 2 Corinthians, referring to Eve being deceived by the serpent. So this was a serpent. And the serpent, the devil, comes to Eve, a woman living in a beautiful garden, where there is no sickness, disease, pain, or suffering, where there is perfect communion between man and God. Can you imagine what that must have been like? To be in a world where you don't have to worry about stepping on thorns when you walk around barefoot. Imagine being all of a sudden awakened in the world and suddenly you see streams of water for the first time. Most of you can't remember the first time you saw, heard, tasted, or touched something. But Adam and Eve would have. They would have remembered the first time they came into the world. It must have been so overwhelming for them to shape their mouths and send out really air that smacked each other in the face so that they could hear what each other was saying. That's incredible. And here Satan comes to destroy the relationship that mankind has with God. And he starts with Eve. And he says, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree that is in the garden? Of course, God did not say that. If any of you know the story of God and Adam and Eve, he said to Adam, Eve wasn't around yet, he said to Adam, you must not eat of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. He didn't say you can't eat of any tree, just one particular tree. Satan says, did God say you can't eat of any tree? Eve says, no, God didn't say that. God said, we shall not eat of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, there's no record of God saying you shall not touch it. Maybe he did say that, we don't know, but there's no record of it. Or maybe it was just Adam saying to Eve, Eve, you can't eat of this fruit, and you don't even touch it, Eve. We don't know what happened exactly. But Satan is starting to tempt Eve. And after this, he pushes Eve a little bit further. He doesn't just twist God's words. In fact, he flatly denies what God said. He says to Eve, when you eat of this tree, you will not surely die. God said to Adam, when you eat of this tree, you will surely die. Satan says, you will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, you will become like him. You'll become like him, knowing good and evil. So what does Satan do? He says to Eve, God is wrong, and God cannot be trusted. He's holding out on you. God says you should not eat of this tree because you will die. You will not surely die. And God is holding out on you. He doesn't want you to be like him. Isn't that exactly like the temptations that we have today? God's word cannot be trusted, and God himself cannot be trusted. The Genesis account didn't really happen. The Israelites didn't really cross the wilderness. They certainly didn't cross the Red Sea. Moses probably didn't even exist. They didn't get the Ten Commandments to begin with. There was no camp in the wilderness. That was just something invented by a later monotheist as religion evolved. Jesus Christ may have existed. He was probably a good teacher or something like that, but he certainly didn't die on a cross or rise from the dead. All of the miracles that you hear of in the Bible are mostly mythology, and our job is to go back and try and discover the real meaning behind the mythology we read about in the Bible. All the prophets didn't really predict the future. They were just writing in hindsight after the events. None of these things can really be trusted. The Apostle Paul probably wasn't even a real Pharisee anyway. God's word cannot be trusted, and God cannot be trusted. Your God is a wicked being. Your God commits genocide. Your God doesn't want you to know things. Look, even in the book of Genesis, he was hiding things from his people. God's word cannot be trusted, and God himself cannot be trusted. These are the arguments of the devil, and they're still being used today. And so Eve sees that the fruit is good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes. The tree was to be desired to make one wise. She gives in to temptation. She is discontent with the knowledge that God has given her. Discontent with the world that God has placed her in. Discontent with living in total goodness. She eats of the fruit, and she gives some to Adam as well. And Adam, whose mandate was to subdue the earth, to be fruitful and multiply, and to be a leader, listens to his wife. And instead of taking dominion, he allows his situations to take dominion over him. He gives into temptation, and he sins. The immediate result for both Adam and Eve is an awareness of their guilt and the feeling of shame. They knew that they were naked. They sewed leaves together and made for themselves loincloths, chapter 3, verse 7. I wonder what it must have been like for them to suddenly be aware that they are the only not good things in God's creation. Everything else around them is good. Everything else around them reflects God's good and perfect nature. God himself is a holy being, and now they're frightened. They're frightened of him, they're aware of their shame, and they realize they're just like the serpent. There is a separation between them and God. And so they did what mankind continues to do to this day when they are found in sin. They hid. They hid away from God. God asks the question that he already knew the answer to. Adam, where are you? Adam's response, I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. God responds to Adam's confession of shame. Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat? And instead of repenting, instead of owning up to his sins, instead of taking responsibility, he shifts the blame. He shifts the blame to the woman and indirectly shifts the blame to God. The woman who you gave me. She gave me this fruit and I ate. God turns his attention to Eve. The snake deceived me, and so I ate. Then God continues to curse mankind, and it should be noted that it is God who does that. It is not that sin is just some sort of mystical force out there that takes over the world. We should not think of death as something like one of those Final Destination movies. I don't know how many of you have ever watched those, where death is this mystical force that's out to get people and they have to escape death. That's almost this personality. No, no, no. It's not the case. There is a sovereign God who says, you will surely die. And he curses humanity and the rest of creation. It starts with the serpent. Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. The devil would forever be at war with the image bearers of God. He still is to this day. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that he is the spirit of disobedience, working in the sons of disobedience. But as soon as the first curse is given, do you notice? There is the first hope of redemption also mentioned. The woman shall have a seed that is to bruise the head of the serpent. There would be a man to come and destroy the one who has the power of death, namely Satan. And people would latch on to this promise throughout history until the time of Jesus Christ. Even the descendants after them, you see Cain killing Abel, and they're looking for this godly seed, and Seth comes along, and people start to call upon the name of the Lord, and they have son after son after son after son, and they experience death, 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 death. And then Noah is born, and what does Noah's father Lamech say? This one will bring us peace from our toil, from our painful toil and labor. And they have Noah, but after Noah, there's just more death, and people keep looking for this promised Messiah, who we know is ultimately Jesus Christ. God said to Eve, I'll multiply your pain in childbearing, and your desire shall be contrary to your husband, for he shall rule over you. And of course, we know the curse that was put on Adam. Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree which I commanded you, you shall not eat. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. You shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of dust you were taken, and to dust you shall return. And forever including to this day. Everything around us is almost a taunt, or at least a constant reminder that we are fallen. There's strife in marriage, you're fallen. The sight of snakes, you're fallen. The sight of dust itself, you're fallen. You're going back to return to that dust. Every time you step on a thorn, every time there is a sickness or disease or anything like that, you're fallen, you're fallen, you're fallen. You've been separated from God. You are not living in the way that you're supposed to live. There is something wrong. Should be apparent to all of us on a daily basis. We then read of God's grace toward Adam and the rest of mankind. God clothed Adam. He covered their shame. We don't know that that necessarily forgave them of their sins. Ultimately, Christ is the one who would forgive them of their sins if they were trusting in the seed. But God covers them. He covers their shame. And then he kicks them out of the garden unless they eat of the tree of life and live forever. While that is part of the curse, it's also amazing grace. How many sins have you committed in your life? Can you count them on one hand? Two hands? Your hands and your feet? All of the hands in this room? No. More times than you can count. Some of you are nodding your heads and you're not even 20 years old. Imagine if you lived to 60, 80, 100. How many times could you sin before you turn 200, 500, 800? 1,000 years old. Somebody in the Bible nearly lived 1,000 years old.
Yeah.
1,500 years? How many sins do you think you could commit in 1,500 years? What if 10,000 years? How many sins could you commit in 10,000 years? A lot. How many lives could you hurt? You could hurt a lot of people. God has given us this grace. We will die and no longer be in a fallen world, that we will be with him in heaven. Although he is going to give us a new heavens and a new earth, we will be with him in glory. And we will pass away. He gives us enough time that we can know Christ, live for his glory, pass away, and be with him. Of course, the most devastating effect of all is that mankind was put away from the presence of God. But there is the hope of the Messiah. And what do we learn from this passage? Well, we learn a lot about ourselves. We learn that man needs God. Man is dependent. Man is dependent on God for everything. Man was dependent upon God in the Garden of Eden. Man should have been fleeing to God instead of sinning. And man is dependent upon God for salvation and everything else in life. And you can mark down all the major problems in the world. They start when man tries to become autonomous, self-ruling, self-governing, asserting his own wills, asserting his own laws, and trying to save himself. False religions, bad political systems, broken relationships, all these big problems of the world occur when man tries to become autonomous instead of trusting in the God who created him. We are created to be dependent on God, and we are created to be satisfied in God. Eve was dissatisfied. She was discontent with the knowledge that God had given her. Discontent with the world that God had placed her in. She wanted something else. She wanted something more. And so she took of the devil's temptation. Instead of obeying him, instead of glorifying God, instead of obeying his laws, instead of displaying Christ-like behavior in the midst of our trials, we often want something else. So maybe that is the case with you. Maybe you are discontent with your life. Maybe you are discontent with the situation God has allowed you to be in. Maybe you are discontent with obeying God's laws and displaying Christ-like behavior in the midst of trials and tribulation. And instead of glorifying Christ and obeying his laws in the midst of hardships, you ignore God. And it's everything you do, you can do to suppress God's laws and suppress God's truths, because you want something else. You want to escape from reality, and so you give into excessive sins, excessive things that may not even necessarily be sin, like excessive daydreaming, excessive TV watching, excessive drinking, excessive medication, excessive all kinds of things to escape the reality that God has placed you in, instead of fleeing to him and trusting in him to give you power to give you grace, to enable and allow you to be like Christ in the midst of adversity. Instead of trusting and relying on these things that distract us from reality, we should do what Adam and Eve should have done. We should trust in God, the God who is enthroned in heaven, the God who cares for his people, the God who gives strength to his people, the God who sent Jesus Christ, who did not ignore the reality that he was placed in. We should fix our eyes on Christ, who for the joy set before him endured the shame and suffered on the cross. Maybe you are like Adam or Eve and you are dissatisfied with the knowledge that God has given you. God has given you all that you need to know for life, salvation, and obedience in his word. In God we have a foundation for truth, for righteousness, for beauty, for all these things. We must not be like Adam and Eve who thought that God was holding out on them. We must not be deceived into thinking there is some other worldview, some other philosophical system out there, that there might be some other religion, that maybe there is no God in heaven, that maybe something else is true, or maybe there is no truth at all. These are serious deceptions that mankind has been chasing since the fall. And you will chase after these ideas your whole life until your life comes to an end and you will realize you have been a fool. And all you have been doing is suppressing the truth about the God you know to be real and whose laws are written on your hearts. You have been suppressing that truth in unrighteousness. All of us this morning have at some point eaten the forbidden fruit, the temptation to sin that Satan offers. Therefore, let us flee the empty satisfaction of the knowledge of evil and find true delight in the tree of life, Jesus Christ. Let us come to Jesus. Let us be found in him. Let us enjoy everlasting satisfaction in him. Come to him and be a son and daughter. Come to him and be a citizen in heaven's kingdom. Come to him and have intimacy with our Creator, our Savior, our Father. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, we are so grateful for your word. We are so grateful that we can draw nourishment and strength from it. I pray, Lord, that we would learn from your word and that you would cause us to grow and be more like Christ. I pray, Lord, that if there are people on this course who are not yet saved and they have been giving into temptation their whole life and they have not yet truly trusted in the seed of the woman, Jesus Christ, the Savior, that they would come to you and be saved. I pray, Lord, for all of us that we would look unto you even when we face life's difficulties and try to abide by your laws, to be satisfied in you, to not grow weary in doing good, to continue to persevere in your kingdom. I pray these things in Jesus' name.